Greet each one in Jesus' name. Good to see all of you. I don't know how long it's been since I've been here with you for a regular church service. It's nice to do that. This morning I'd like to think about God some more. We've heard a lot. There's been a lot said about God. I'd like to think about that some more. You know, most of us here have been taught about God from little up. And there's many things that we learn about God. You know, we learn that He is the Creator, that He's the Savior, that He's the Judge. You know, all the stories throughout the Bible, how He led the children of Israel, and how He sent His Son to die for us. You know, there's many things we learn from the time we're little. And I would suppose if I would call some of you younger children up here, and I could ask you if God sees you, that you would say yes. And if I would say, well, how much of the time, you would say, well, all the time. And if I would ask you if God can see you in the dark, you would say, well, yeah. So we understand that concept very well. We teach that concept very well. God sees, God is with us. Probably if I would ask the question, how many of us, thinking of it maybe when we were 10 to 15 years old, how many of us have done something we would not have done if our parents were standing there with us? And probably every hand would be up. So somehow we teach that God sees all the time, but when dad and mom aren't there, it doesn't really matter. Why are we more worried about our parents seeing us as children than we are about God seeing us? Why is that? You know, we teach our children very well that God sees us, and they know that in principle. But how do we as parents live our lives? Do we live it in a way that applies that principle? That God sees us, that we're aware of God. Do we live our lives in a way that tells our children that we're more concerned about what other people think of us than what God thinks of us? So that's what, if you want a title this morning, would have having an awareness of God. Being aware of God in our lives. You know, is God's presence in my life real today? What concept of God do you have? You know, we go to town. If you drive to Eugene, or maybe you're walking through the mall, and you see a picture, a bad picture, maybe especially for the men, what is your response? And if you take that second look, do you look over your shoulder to make sure no one you know is around? Or do you think about God and that He is there beside you? Or maybe we're visiting in another congregation and, you know, that person that likes to talk about other people comes up and visits with us. And we have a good conversation about a lot of other people and all their problems. You know, when your conscience starts prodding you, do you kind of look around and make sure no one heard what I said? Or do I think about God? That God has already heard that. And there's a big list of applications to that. But when we are tempted, what keeps us? Is it the thought that God is there, that God sees? Or is it the fact that someone else might find out, that other people might find out? Why are we so tuned to what other people think, and yet it's so easy to not worry about what God thinks? We're used to the physical, the things we can touch, the things we can see, and not as aware of the spiritual, the things within us, the things of God. You know, those things we see and deal with on a daily level become more important to us than what God is. They're more real and tangible. I don't think it should be this way, but we have a tendency to allow it to be that way. So unless God is at the center of our lives, we will not be as aware of Him as we should be. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." Solomon recognized that concept, that the fear of God is much more important than the fear of man. Psalm 10:4, and it's speaking of a wicked person. It says, "God is not in all his thoughts." How are our thoughts? Is God in all of those thoughts? The Bible is full of stories about the lives of men and women and how they related to God and to each other. And I think if we would go through those stories, every sin and every failure can be traced to a lack of awareness of God. You know, you think about Adam and Eve there in the garden. Would they have taken that fruit if they would have realized that God is here watching? You know, would have Cain killed Abel if he would have thought about God being right there beside him? You know, would have David committed that sin with Bathsheba if he would have thought about God in his all-seeing eye? You know, we can go through the Bible and down through history up to today. And, you know, would we spread that juicy gossip? Or would we take that second look if we thought about that God sees and hears? You know, would we allow bitterness and grudges to fester down in our hearts? They're way down there where no one can see it, can see. But would we allow that if we thought about that God knows they're there, that God cannot stand that? You know, Satan is battling for souls today, for each one of our souls. And he knows if he can win in our minds, he has our whole being. And if he can make us forget God or dull that awareness of God, he can have control of our minds. So often we do not sin openly because we think that, because we're afraid of what other people will think. We're afraid of what they might say, but somehow we think it doesn't matter if only God finds out. Too often it's that way. I've seen an advertisement for a company, some nutritional supplement company. In that advertisement, it says that as a company, they answer to God in everything they do. You know, that's probably supposed to inspire confidence on our part that they're real. But you know, each one of us is going to answer to God at the end of life. Are we prepared for that? Isn't it much better to live with an awareness of God today than to face it at the end of life and not be prepared for it? So as we think about being aware of God, how can we gain awareness of God? How can we have more awareness of God in our lives? And I have a number of points here. They're not in any particular order. First one I have is an awareness of God is closely tied with the proper fear of God. You know, if we don't have a proper fear of God, a proper understanding of God and how God thinks, we're not going to be very aware of God. And we can be aware of God, but if we don't have a proper fear of God, it will not produce the right results. Think about the story of Jonah. Jonah was fairly aware of God, but he did not have a proper fear of God. Remember how Adam, after he sinned, he wanted to hide from God. Proverbs says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." So if we're going to be aware of God, we have to have a proper fear of God. And if you would read the people that had visions of God in the Bible, and there's Isaiah, Ezekiel, Apostle John, read their visions and their response to God, to what they saw. Proper fear of God, seeing how we fit in with God in God's plan. We need to have a proper understanding of God. Luke chapter 9, verses 53 and 54. It's a story. Jesus and his disciples were going through a village, Samaritan village, and they did not receive them, did not let them stay. And James and John's response to that, "And they did not receive him because his face as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?' And Jesus went on to say, 'No, that's not my purpose here.' But they did not understand God. They did not understand what God wanted. A few more I thought about. The little children were brought to Jesus, and the disciples told them to go away. You know, Jesus don't have time for you. They didn't understand Jesus and God and what he wanted. The rich young ruler's another one. You know, he came and he was pretty sure of himself. You know, he had kept the commandments. But he didn't understand that God wanted the heart, not the commandments. He kept back that one thing. How often do we do and say things that are not what God would have us to? Because we don't understand God and how God looks at things. Another thing, in being aware of God, we need to have a living, vital relationship with Him. If we're going to be aware of God, turn to 1 Samuel 15. Read a few verses there. There's a story when King Saul was sent to destroy the Amalekites, and Samuel came to him . I'll begin reading in verse 20. Samuel hears the animals. He asks them, you know, what's going on. And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. And the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." You know, Saul did not have that relationship with God. And so he tried to substitute sacrifice for obedience. It was an empty form. There was no life in his relationship with God. And that's how it is in our lives so often. When we do not have a living, vital relationship with God, we try to substitute visible, outward things for that relationship. Turn to Psalm 51. Thinking of having that relationship, what is important to a living relationship? Recently, I was impressed. The last few verses of Psalm 51. Read verses 16 and 17 and then jump down to 19. "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Verse 19, "Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." Brokenness must precede worship. We have to be surrendered to God in order to have a living relationship with Him. See, in verse 16 and 17, he says, "Thou desirest not sacrifice." And then, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart." And then he goes down to verse 19 and says, "Then you will be pleased with sacrifices and burnt offerings." Brokenness must precede worship. I think we can gain a greater awareness of God through learning to know God better. Exodus 33, verse 13. This is when Moses, God wanted to not go with the children of Israel after they had sinned at Mount Sinai. And Moses is pleading that God would continue to go with them. And this is Moses' testimony. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Moses' desire to know God, to catch a clear vision of God. Then in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, Paul's testimony, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's desire to grow, to know more of God, and we probably, most of us, look at the Apostle Paul and we think, well, he's got a lot farther than we have, and yet Paul's desire was to know more, to grow more, and we need that desire. We can know God through faith and love, and faith is the organ of knowledge. Love is the organ of experience. So we can know God through a head knowledge, through faith, and then through love we can experience God. We need to pursue after God with beatitude. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. God desires to fill us. God desires to draw us closer to him. If we seek him. Jeremiah 29:12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. When we give up to God, when we surrender everything to God, we can find him. To have a greater awareness of God, we need to spend time in God's Word and in prayer. How can we expect to be aware of God if we do not spend time reading His Word and meditating on it? How else can God reach into our lives if we're not taking time for Him? Thought that impressed me recently. You know, we all say we love God. But if God showed his love for us the same way we show ours for him, would we think that God loved us? Well, maybe above all else, God has to be number one in our lives. If God is truly number one in our lives, we will have an awareness of God. You know, sometimes we hear that expression that a person's life revolves around their work or their recreation, whatever it is. You know, what said of us? Do people say that our life revolves around God? Or is it appear that it revolves around making another dollar? Or having fun. Maybe another aspect of being aware of God is being aware of God in the details of life. How quick are we to ask God for help when you lose the keys or the dog's sick, whatever you want to put in there? How quick are we to, well, it's just a little thing and we kind of hate to ask. I believe if we're aware of God, we're going to ask God. We're going to pray about those things. Genesis 16, it's a story of Hagar. Hagar ran away from Sarah. Sarah was hard. Sarah did not like her. It was hard on her. She ran away and she stopped beside a spring. And there was an angel there that came and talked to her. Told her that she would have a son, that son would become a great nation. She told her to go back to Sarah. At the close of that conversation, Hagar said, it says she called the name of the Lord, "Thou God seest me." Maybe that's a verse we teach our children, "Thou God seest me." But do we live that way, that God sees us? Can we keep that vision before us that God is with us and sees us all the time? It doesn't have to be a negative thought that God is with us. It should be positive. I'd like to think a little bit about Joseph. Genesis 39, verses 1 to 9. Remember how Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers? Genesis 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, that the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" You know, Joseph had a lot of counts against him. He had about every reason to give up. You know, he was away from his family. He was in a foreign land. Probably no one else there that worshiped God. He was a slave. I don't remember. I didn't look it up. I believe he was a fairly young man at this point as well. And yet, as far as I know, in all the Bible, he is the one person that we have recorded who had victory in the area of moral temptation. And I believe that key is in his response. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know, he didn't say, what if Potiphar finds out? What will the neighbors think? How can I sin against God? Is that what comes to our minds when we're tempted? Do we think God's here? What's this going to do to my relationship with Him? You know the story of Samson. If you remember, he went down to the Philistines and he was with Delilah, and Delilah asked him what the secret of his strength was. And we know how Samson, his focus was not on God, and he played with sin. What is the secret of your strength today? Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. The end of the verse says, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." The people that do know their God shall be strong. Is that the secret of your strength today? Of my strength is that I know God? That I have a vital, living relationship with God? You know, if there's one thing that I desire for each of us here, it's that we could catch a vision of a holy God and that we could have an awareness of Him, that He's here with us all the time, and that we could have a desire for Him in our lives, that I may know Him. That's my prayer for each one here today, for myself.